Chapter 11, The Penthouse, a $10 million portfolio and beyond. I don't care what anyone says, being rich is a good thing. Mark Cuban. Time versus money. Moving to the penthouse is more than just smart investing. It also requires a mindset shift. When I was in the basement of the wealth elevator, I was obsessed with saving. I was beyond frugal. I relied on cashback credit cards and hacked travel plans, and I drove the same old car for years. I was determined to find any way I could to save for a down payment on rentals. One big way I created money was to stack rewards checking accounts from about a dozen credit card offers with zero interest balance transfer offers. It was free money. I just had to meticulously pay off the minimum balances on the credit cards. To get the higher interest rate on my funds in the bank, I had to do at least 12 transactions with the account every month. I found myself running around doing the silliest things. At one bank, I paid myself 1 cent from PayPal 12 times, but then they flagged the account for suspicious activity and shut it down. As a workaround, I put the tiniest amount of gas possible into my tank, 35 cents, until they flagged the card. Then I moved on to the next gas station a few miles down the road and did it again, as they froze in 30-degree Seattle weather. Those were my Saturday afternoons in my 20s. In the evenings, I stared at my elaborate net worth tracker sheets and counted every dime. I'm mentioning this because I know that a lot of you have these homemade spreadsheets too, that no one knows how to make sense of but you. Many of us are like that. Resource gifts for saving. Whether you're at the basement level or just looking for something entertaining, you might want some radical ideas on how to save money for investing. Visit thewealthelevator.com/cheapo and see what worked for me. And hopefully, stop doing these things. When I made it to floor one, I realized those strategies weren't serving me anymore. I was trading time for money instead of letting my passive investments make money for me. As my investments matured and I rose to floor two, I saw that I need to protect my time. I'm still frugal, but I'm not cheap. Instead of looking at costs, I look at value. I spend based on the lifestyle I want rather than saving based on the lifestyle I dream of having someday. I haven't forgotten my roots. I still take pleasure in saving money in the smallest of ways, but when you reach the penthouse, you should be conscious of your time and not trade it for money. You've hit endgame. You can finally prioritize the things that you're really important, like being there for your family with your time instead of just with your money, beyond the $10 million threshold. By the time you reach the penthouse, you're primarily investing in syndications and private real estate funds, but there is a slight reversal to traditional investments. Yes, public markets. This is a defensive and ease of use move in case you unexpectedly pass away. Your focus is on legacy planning and educating the next generation. Most importantly, the penthouse floor is about adjusting your mindset and redefining what wealth means to you. Are you content with having enough? Or do you have a vision of what you would like to fund in the future? Have you dreamed of a vision and need to utilize money to realize it? Maybe you want a family, maybe you don't. Maybe you live in Hawaii, maybe you want to live in Arizona. Maybe you want to quit your job. Maybe you want to keep working. Until now, those goals have been hampered by your ability to accomplish them financially. When you move up the wealth elevator, you can make those dreams reality. Remember the freedom number you calculated in Chapter 2. I've seen everything from $15,000 a month for a single people, for those with small families, all the way up to $100,000 a month for those who want to live a more extravagant lifestyle. Most people who come to our live events aspire to build passive cash flow of about $25,000 a month. Maybe you're thinking, I'm nowhere near the penthouse floor. $10 million in assets? I'm fine stopping on floor two or floor three. I want to show you the view from the penthouse so you can see what other wealth-conscious people spend money on and how they make those numbers work. Don't get too bogged down in the exact ranges because everyone has different lifestyles. Instead, connect with feeling associated with living on the rooftop. Learn about how to keep alternative investments in your portfolio, special plays to increase your assets, and what exactly your net worth means at this level. Personally, I've taken great interest observing those who are one or two rungs above me. Not only does it give me good ideas to embrace lifestyle growth, but it has also made me more aware of the problems that plague people on the next level. It also allows me to have gratitude for where I am. Alternative investments in your portfolio. You've done it. you've reached the penthouse. What does your alternative investment strategy look like now? The penthouse. Your monthly cash flow is $50,000 to $100,000 a month. You have $10 million plus net worth. You have hit your financial number for financial independence. Passive investor plan, penthouse. Your money grows faster than you can spend. Your focus is now on your legacy. Continue investing in alternative real estate deals and max out your AIB at $250,000 a year. Legal. Put your more advanced structure into place with the combination of a qualified retirement plan and AIB, both for asset protection and an irrevocable trust to also navigate federal and state estate taxes. Retirement. You can continue to fund your QRP, most likely in a solo 401k, based on your long-range plan. You can also consider a nonprofit organization, which I will talk about later in this chapter. Home equity. Decide where you want to hold your debt, in your AIB, home equity loan, if your home is less than $1 million, or security-backed loans for multi-million dollar estates, or pay off debt entirely and live mortgage-free. At this point, you have enough net worth and cash flow to do sub-optimized wealth-building activities, meaning you can do things that don't necessarily bring maximum returns, and you can do more conservative activities. You don't necessarily have to optimize the use of every equity dollar, as somebody would only $1 million to $2 million net worth. Special plays for $10 million net worth and more. As you transition to the penthouse, your priorities change. Nine-figure millionaires don't care about loan-to-value ratios and paying off debt. They care about liquidity and cash flow for debt service. It's a whole different frame of mind, and it needs special plays to keep in the game. Sorry, I'm not going to tell you what the best exotic cars are or what bottle of wine will look best in your cellar, but in this chapter, I go into ways the wealthy access loans and capital. In the next chapter, I will show you even more advanced ways to mitigate taxes at the rooftop level. These strategies come from my experience brainstorming and interacting with high net worth individuals and family offices. What first generation wealth makers do with their money is very different than the way unsophisticated second and third generation trust fund kids spend their fortunes. The adults are talking. Hey, the adults in the penthouse are talking here. If your net worth is under $5 million, feel free to read this section. But make no mistake, in order to grow your net worth at your stage, you will need to go into alternative investments, not traditional investments. Once you've reached the penthouse with your net worth of $5 million or more, consider reverting to traditional investments. Security-backed lines of credit. As far as I'm concerned, unless they make massive amounts of money, over $500,000 a year, the majority of people with multi-millions in net worth own alternative assets and leverage their debt. The security-backed line of credit, SBLOC, is the traditional investment world's equivalent of a good real estate mortgage. Some traditional investments are incredibly liquid. You can store your equities with a top-tier brokerage like JP Morgan, Vanguard, Schwab, or Merrill Lynch, or even a newcomer like M1 Finance, and then take out a loan against a certain percentage of the value of your stocks. This is called an SBLOC. How much loan proceeds can you get from your stocks depends on how volatile those stocks are. For example, if all you have is Tesla stock, which is incredibly volatile, the brokerage might be willing to loan you only 50 cents on the dollar with 2 to 4% interest. If your stock is a stable company like AT&T, you'll get a much higher loan to value. Your borrowing rates are also determined on how strong your banking relationship is and how high your net worth is. That is why this strategy really opens once you get to the penthouse. You are basically creating another double dip effect. You make money with your stock position, plus you redeploy the loan proceeds into whatever you want, including more stocks, syndications, and private real estate funds. You are on the penthouse level, so this is a time where you might choose not to take those loan proceeds and put them back into prudent alternative investments. You might simply buy that multi-million dollar house with all cash instead. Personally, I'm saddened that many heirs who inherit our wealth may not learn the importance of leverage and the associated risks in various ventures. Leveraging and proper use of debt is crucial for progressing to higher floors on the wealth elevator. It's unfortunate that most of our next generation won't be compelled to use these tools. as they can learn valuable life lessons and develop strategic mindsets through such experiences, which cannot be learned academically through spreadsheets, written words, or discussions. It's only when somebody is actively managing an asset portfolio with skin in the game and an element of potential danger, which will not be evident for our beneficiaries, that this valuable lesson truly takes root. Controversially, we should all become accustomed to using good debt and leverage, even when we are rich. Treasury bills. I have a friend who has $20 million in stocks. With just his stock portfolio alone, he's at the high end of the penthouse. How does he protect all that income when he invests? He has a private client banking relationship account. He can buy low-risk treasury bills, which are short-term government-backed loans, and create a nice little income stream to further increase his net worth. Additionally, T-bills are so secure that he can finance via a security-backed line of credit, or SB lock, 90% of the loan on that money at a rate of just 3%. He then uses that to buy more stocks, T-bills, or even real estate syndications or funds. Because his net worth is on that penthouse level, he qualifies for a private client banking relationship account that entitles him perks like better SB lock rates. The rich get richer. That means he can buy an $18 million property in cash by taking out an $18 million loan on his stocks. By doing that, he doesn't even have to touch his stocks. If they go up, he still makes money. Also, since he never liquidates his stocks, only borrowing from his position, which is similar in real estate to a HELOC or cash out refinance, he does not trigger capital gains tax. He is essentially arbitrating his stocks and buying other assets with his SB lock. You can also use this strategy with your accredited investor banking and essentially avoid costly mortgages while paying back the debt service expenses to yourself, not the bank. On the downside, if the stock that you back your credit line with goes down, you may have to cough up the difference. That is called a margin call. As a high net worth individual, however, the bank considers you a safe bet to pay back the loan even if the stock tanks. Non-correlated assets. The economy typically goes up over the long term, but it goes up in a sine curve, up and down, up and down, up and down. Most people look for investments that are on the rise and then sell quickly when they dip. They measure investments on a monthly or quarterly basis. Am I getting my 1% every month is the main question. As you move into the multi-million dollar net worth portfolio, you need to start thinking in longer time horizons. Your investments should have a 5 or even 10 year lifespan. Remember, on this level, you don't have short-term cash constraints. You play the very long game as you steer your net worth higher. You might also prefer reliable returns of 5 to 9% because you no longer need anything in the 10 to 15% range. That means you start to look for non-correlated assets, assets that don't correlate to how the economy is doing, raw land, life settlement investments, and similar. These assets don't have much of a cyclical sine wave. They move up over time, but slowly, not at the pace of most growth investments. Precious metals. At this stage, putting money into gold and precious metals makes sense. You want a small portion of your investment portfolio to be highly stable. Gold accomplishes that, even though the returns are terrible, unless you happen to get lucky as a speculator. Be warned that many investors have a significant amount of confusion when it comes to precious metal dealers and vendors who specifically target those at the lower levels of the wealth elevator. These dealers often resort to fear-based tactics, instilling concerns about the imminent collapse of the dollar and similar scenarios. If you are in the penthouse, you have the economic freedom to hedge your portfolio with precious metals and still have $25,000 to $50,000 come in every month in passive cash flow. That said, many people who go down this road have a degree of fear regarding governments and nations, often seeking multiple passports. I personally don't do any precious metals. Even if World War III erupts, I plan to stay put in the United States and ride this ship out. But I respect people's concerns. The multi-million dollar chateau. Buying a multi-million dollar home is a great strategy for investing your wealth while enjoying it. This is a time and place for it. And when you are in the penthouse stage, you've earned it. Funding methods include tapping into your SB lock, accredited investor banking, or a standard home loan. One challenge for a standard home loan when buying a multi-million dollar house is that the traditional mortgages from Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and other lenders have pretty low loan limits. They were not created for the multi-million dollar mansions. You can get portfolio loans from banks, but the interest rates and origination fees are higher than your AIB and SBLOC borrowing rates. Once you own a mansion as your principal residence, you can take advantage of Section 121 tax exclusion. You can sell the house without paying on the first capital gains of $250,000 if you're single, or $500,000 for a married couple. One of the biggest mistakes I see people make is that they fail to sell their house after it has increased in value over those numbers. And this also applies to people below the penthouse level. When you use a strategy, you can hop from one house to another, as these assets have natural appreciation that eliminate capital gains along the way, if you want to mitigate taxes. But if you have found your dream home and you don't want to be physically burdened by moving just to save six figures in taxes, then more power to you, man. Real estate developments. Property developments are a type of syndication, or they can be put into private funds. They are value-added real estate projects, but in a much greater way. They have higher returns than most rehab value-add real estate ventures, and a quicker timeline, which also allows for investors to have a higher velocity of capital. After 2020, we started to focus on more developments in our operations because ground-up developments are insulated from market undulations, stagflation, government-mandated eviction freezes, miscellaneous headwinds that impact value-add deals where you are constantly operating the asset and have larger profits and lower margins for error. Additionally, we don't have to contend with less experienced operators with under $1 billion in deals under their belts who are purchasing apartments and ultimately bidding up the prices on future acquisitions. Nonprofit organizations. Nonprofits give you tax benefits while letting you give back to your community. They shelter you from asset protection and litigation and allow you to save taxes on your personal income by running expenses through that nonprofit. That very few people who successfully create a profit do it purely for the tax benefits. It's just too much work. If you're going to go this route, your heart needs to be in it. That said, if it's not in the cards for you, don't worry. Few of my clients who have reached the penthouse level have formally created a nonprofit. Most have focused on contributing to the betterment of mankind in their own unique ways. Net savings. Net savings is a crucial statistic because it reflects the amount of money an investor is able to save after deducting all expenses and financial obligations, such as living costs, taxes, debt service, and other financial responsibilities. It signifies the financial progress of a person by increasing their savings or reducing their expenses. I sometimes refer to this as your velocity. The amount you are able to save to deploy your investing will increase as you go up the wealth elevator. But when you reach the penthouse, the amount will plateau as you shift your mindset to learning to spend the money you generate. When you are on the floor one or floor two, you may have a net savings of anywhere from $25,000 to $100,000. At floor three, your annual net savings might reach $150,000. By the time you reach the rooftop, you could have an even greater net savings. But I tend to coach our clients to start shifting their mindsets from saving to spending as soon as they reach the threshold of $100,000 per year in net savings. That's when it's time to start spending their money and enjoying their lives. It's a good time to experience what life has to offer with their loved ones. And sometimes I'll even say this in our private coaching calls for people who have not yet hit $3 or $4 million net worth. This has tax advantages too. The higher expenses for lifestyle enrichment can be used to offset their income. For our investors who live in expensive states like California or Hawaii and make substantial annual incomes ranging from a few $100,000 to over $1 million per year, these expenses can help mitigate taxes. Traditional wealth building advisors focus mostly on tightening budgets and managing expenses. In the wealth elevator model, I coach our clients to focus on generating income quickly under the strategies I've shown you. This income serves as a rocket fuel for speeding your ascent. You want to harness lazy equity to make money for you and unlock tax savings so you can move up the floors as quickly as possible. But as you reach $2.5 million to $3 million in asset, generating more than $100,000 in net savings at floor three and the penthouse, you can slow down the rate generating income. You don't need as much rocket fuel capital to generate more passive income. You can start spending money to mitigate taxes and enjoy your life. How exactly you choose to enjoy your life is based on your values, but you want to back off from extreme frugality. I had a client in his 60s whose investments were in the multi-millions. Those investments kicked off a lot of cash flow, more than he needed. He was invested in rentals, syndications, and funds, and he spent a lot of time managing his investments. But his adult children and grandkids rarely visited him. He was just grandpa. His few friends did not have the kind of income or lifestyle he did, and he had few hobbies. Once you reach a certain income level, you want to make the mindset shift of to spending, to encourage our clients enjoy your life, your family, your interests, while you still have the energy and time to do that. Frugality can help take you to your goals, but then it's time to start spending. Once you reach the penthouse, enjoy the view. Find the best strategies for you. I love to throw events for our clients and prospective clients. Our events offer an excellent opportunity to learn more about our wealth strategies and meet other investors in our community. Visit thewealthelevator.com/events to see a list of upcoming events in your area. The final aspect of protecting yourself in the penthouse is taxes. We've talked about tax strategies, but when you get to this level, you're open up entirely new plays. In the next chapter, we'll look at tax strategies to help minimize the benefits on this floor. To close out this chapter and go into more detail of that kind of sad case that I went into. When you get into your 60s, 70s, 80s, some of the investors are at this stage, and maybe I can see myself get to there at this point. If you're somebody who just keeps to yourself, and sure, you have your current social circle, but they may not have the same type of hobbies because they may not have the same amount of net worth as you do. And also the hobbies and interests might change. And you may find yourself a little bit of a loner in your late years. And this is why I think a lot of people, maybe in their early retirement years, they finally realize, shoot, I better build a social circle that is a little bit more aligned with my current values and my interests. And this is why I think a lot of people are attracted to our community with like-minded people, but also they got the same amount of dollars in their pocket. But hopefully that story hits you in a way that maybe you do something a little bit different and it changes your trajectory. Because unfortunately, once you get to that stage of your life, it's too little too late. You know, most of the people within our community are in our 40s and 50s. And that's a great time to re-engage and find new people that are on your trajectory now.